Welcome to the show. This is our Christmas week special, week 15, first round playoff results, week 16, semifinal preview. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and Merry Christmas. Recording here on December 19th. My name is Bub, joined on the podcast tonight. A little bit of a different crew. People have holiday dinners and things going on. So we reached out to everybody who could possibly make it tonight and who possibly matters in the show. And so what we ended up with here is Christopher wearing a Christian McCaffrey jersey. Chris, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Bub. I'm a little sad, a little bummed, a little devastated, a little embarrassed. But good to be on with a couple allies tonight for sure. Cheer me up a little bit.
That is for sure. So no Ross tonight, unavailable. Scotty may show up about halfway through the show. We shall see. So we're like, all right, who else are we going to get? Like, who's still in this thing? Who's still in the show alive and kicking? And we ended up with one of the greatest guys in the world and a original member of the show. And it is Dana Lyon, everybody. Dana, thank you so much for making time for the show. How are you doing?
Oh, doing really well here in Texas. Roll Tide. And we're excited. We're really excited.
You know, I haven't started seeing those Bama fans here in Southern California yet, but I can imagine that in about 10 days or so, they're going to be all over Disneyland before they make their way up to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. So that should be very exciting for Bama fans to come out to SoCal this time of year.
Well, yeah, and you know, I know your family is really strong Michigan fans, but sorry, guys.
Maybe we'll preview the Rose Bowl next week. That'd be fun. So anyway, we have some results to get to for the first round of the playoffs. We have four teams who have been eliminated, had all the hope in the world going into the playoffs, and just like that, the dream is extinguished. And then we will preview the two semifinal matchups. Ross could not be here to pick his matchup, but I have the pick. So we will get to that in a little bit. So how about this? Why don't we start with, from week 15, the highest score of the week. It is the Sace Armadillos get to the playoffs and put up 118 points. Fly, Harvey, fly. 77.5. Now, Dana, before we started recording, you told us how you ended up choosing Chris. Will you share that with the show audience? Well, why did you end up choosing Chris in the first place?
Well, absolutely. I was out working, and Matt, you called me and said I had all day to look and decide who to play. And then the commish calls me and pressures me, says I need a decision now. So I quickly looked, and my one loss record was better against Chris than it was his dad. So that's how I picked Chris.
Well, Chris, Merry frickin' Christmas. You were the you were the sacrificial lamb to the Armadillos. And I mean, you know, we'll get to laying your team to rest here in a few minutes, but it just is one of those cases where it's a good team, you get to the playoffs, and then just nothing goes your way in a specific week.
Yeah. Old Harvey was not flying high above these last few weeks. The wings were broken. Just nothing going right. I don't think it's a coincidence that my three worst weeks have also been the same games that the Eagles have lost three in a row. But this was brutal. This was absolutely brutal. Not like a close, like you have false hope brutal. This was just a beatdown. Led by Jared freaking Goof, of all people, Saturday night, just five touchdowns. It's unbelievable. So luckily when that happened, I kind of figured I had maybe like a 5 to 10% chance. But once those afternoon games started, I was if Stev was on here, I was fairly quiet the rest of the day on Sunday, just watching CMC 28.5. Kyren got like 30 carries, fumbled twice. McVay didn't care. Kept him in there, kept scoring. Absolutely no chance. Nice to not have to be stressed out Monday night with my Eagles going. Accepted the L fairly early and said this when they beat me in the championship, Bov, but for whatever reason, it feels a little better losing to Dana and Graham than losing to most other people. So congrats on the big, huge win, Dana. Thanks for picking me. Merry frickin' Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Dana.
I was just going to say, Chris, your dad and your brother were texting me all the time saying, oh, thank you so much for not picking me. So you might want to get on them a little bit too.
Yeah, I will.
I was really nervous. And everybody said, just like you said, Goff was not supposed to do well. And he kind of kicked it off. And from there, everybody just took off. And it was one of those where, you know, I had both those running backs on IR for four or five weeks, and I kept suffering losses and just hoping to get them back for the playoffs. And so far, they've really helped me a lot.
Bub, the crazy Dana, thing when you're is,
one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The crazy thing is, I was the one actually sticking up for the Sace Armadillos a few weeks ago when I think it was, of course, it was Dose. Trolling them, calling them trash. I was like, dude, when Dana was fully healthy earlier in the year, he was putting up higher scores than you, you clown. Speaking of clowns, you can't cross your fingers when the pick your poison games are getting announced that a team is going to pick you. That is just absolute clownery by Harvey. I think that's karma, like Mark was talking about last week, absolute karma. I was hoping Dana would pick me. 10 seconds later, after I found out he picked me, I looked at his matchups this week, and I knew I was clown of the year for sure.
Dana, when you're watching the 49ers score 40-something points on the Cardinals, and you're watching Christian McCaffrey score and then score again and then score again, are you thinking to yourself, hey, maybe save some of those? Like, make sure we got a few of those for next week too?
No, I just want him to get used to it. So it's just
there you go.
Natural for him. Every time he runs the ball, he should be going for a touchdown.
Well, hey, in you get to December, and some of these games have bad weather. It's offense just seems to be tougher for some teams. So to score 118 points in a week where three other playoff teams scored under 80 is very impressive. So it is Sace Armadillos moving on to the semifinals, and Fly Harvey Fly is out. Let's run through the rest of the results here. The other over 100 point score, Dose and a Half Men, 108. Dose keeps rolling along. It's a, I don't even know how many wins in a row. It's a lot. I don't think the guy's lost since September. And Dose moves on to the semifinals. Los Cuervos is out. 91. You know, valiant effort from Don. Harvey, we talked all the time. The QB's good. He got guys like Singletary and Mixon to chip in, but just wasn't enough here for this team to pull off the big playoff upset. But, I mean, hey, what can you say about Dose continuing to roll?
Oh, I'm tired of Dose, Bub. I'm tired of – luckily, I don't have to do it anymore, but watching my team just – everything imaginable – keeps my guys out of the end zone. And this guy, just every week, it's every freaking guy scores. It's unbelievable. I'm hoping whoever he plays this week pulls off the upset because I'm tired of Dose. He's cocky. I got the snaps on Sunday. He's out on a boat in San Francisco not watching football. Lost a lot of respect for him and was really pulling for Don in this one. But like we said when we were previewing it, just it's all quarterbacks and not a whole lot else, and it just wasn't enough.
Dana, you're the one of the three of us still alive. You may play Dose this week. You could end up playing Dose in the championship. The guys won 10 games in a row. Do you see this team as beatable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been sending all sorts of presents and steaks to my boys. They're going to be ready for no matter who we play. And we would love to play Dose like right now. No. We're going to put up probably 140, 150 against them.
Ooh, all right. I love it. So Dose moves on to the semis. Don, you know, Derby winner. It's always a tough one if you end up playing the one seed, and Don just didn't quite have enough here. Two more to get through. This one was kind of a dud. Boy, the other team on a big winning streak. So Tyler Menard went into this one on an 8-game winning streak and falls short here in the first round of the playoffs. Only scores 60.5, and it's wide, wide west moving on. Matt Gifford wins a fifth straight with a score of 81.5. Would have lost to Don, would have lost to Dose, would have lost to Dana. But it's Matt Gifford that gets picked by Tyler as the 2 seed and takes him out. Chris, your thoughts here on this one?
Fantasy football is just a silly game, Bov.
Yep.
I mean, Tyler was in the 90s and 100s, like you said, 8 weeks in a row on his winning streak. And then the most important game of the season comes around and he has his worst week of the year. Hate to see it for the guy. He's a great ally, a great friend. We were kind of depressed texting on Sunday because we both basically had no chance at like 2 o'clock on Sunday. So we had some ally texts going. I actually found out he was in SoCal doing kind of an early Christmas with some family. And for NorCal Tyler to be in SoCal for the first week of the playoffs, not a good omen. And it clearly showed with his 60.5. And I don't have much to say about GIF. Turned out it was actually a pretty good pick by Tyler. I mean, more often than not, he's going to beat 81.5. But yeah, I think GIF's fun in the 120 to 130 range is over. And he's probably going to get roasted this week.
Okay. What do you think, Dana? I mean, you've got some guys that have been on fire, McCaffrey, Kyron Williams, Goff. Do you agree with Chris? This Matt Gifford team, I mean, Raheem Mostert has 20 touchdowns this season. Right. That's pretty insane. Debo's on fire. Cooper Kupp and the Rams are kind of on fire right now. Do you agree with Chris, or do you think this Matt Gifford team has a little more firepower than Chris has given him credit for?
I actually think he's got that strange little firepower. I was actually, because he beat me the week before, just spanked me. And I did not want to play him last week. So I was happy when he was picked by somebody else. Now, he didn't have as big a week, but there's a lot of potential there. I mean, he could actually come back. Like you said, Debo is great. And boy, makes me nervous. Just makes me nervous.
We'll see. All right. Last one from week 15. It's the hot seats. Defending champions moving on. 94.5. Nice week for Stev and Steve. And like Tyler, you know, Lamar and Nate are a really nice season for the Gustafsons, but they come up way short here. 55.5. It really all went wrong. And hot seats moving on to the semifinals. Chris, I mean, We'll lay Lamar Nader to rest here, but just another one where team buoyed by Lamar and timely touchdowns from Derrick Henry and Kamara, but overall the roster just didn't quite have enough to put up a big week in the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess kind of goes back to my fantasy football is silly comment. Just can't make sense of this one. Man, Derrick Henry had, what, like 20 carries for 9 yards or something crazy like that? This just doesn't make sense, Bov. Thought Lamar Nader would put up more of a fight. Never want to hear my dad and Stev complain about bad luck in the show again. Especially the Laporta garbage. I was so pissed when this happened. Laporta's third touchdown from Goff. With like 2 minutes left in the game, they're already up like 35-17. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, a solid week overall for the hot seats. with a zero from their first round pick, Bijan. Shout out Arthur Smith, you're a clown. So yeah, gotta feel for the Lamar Naders, Bev. I was a fan of them this year. A lot of people were trolling their team name early on, but myself included. But when week five or six came around, I called them by their name, the Lamar Nader. I think they're a great team, and we'll lay them to rest pretty soon here.
It's just a head scratcher for me. I mean, this team put up over 100 points against me a couple weeks ago with no quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And so to see this, to see those guys, same guys put up, I mean, 55 minus 5 minus the 25 they got from their quarterbacks, 30 points is just unbelievable. I want to touch on hot seats here for a sec, because Dana, they have a little bit in common with your team. So much of this is nailing either waiver pickups or late round picks. And for you, it's Kyren Williams. It's Tank Dell that really propelled your season. Chris just mentioned freaking Laporta, a waiver pickup this season. I mean, you just have to have a guy like that that you got from either the scrap heap or late in the draft that no one wanted to really get this far.
Well, I agree. Picking up Kyren was huge. Tank unfortunately got hurt, but he kept me going there. And that's sometimes a bad thing. When you score a lot of points, you don't get picks very often. And how those guys slip by everybody else, I don't know. But I was very fortunate to pick them up, and they saved me. You know, they saved my whole thing. Just like we were talking earlier, the fact that I got McCaffrey and I think, what was I, number five? That was silliness, absolute silliness. But that is
stupidity from four other people in front of you.
Well, it's, you know,
pure stupidity.
But everybody are, the show has always been, they want quarterbacks first.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get too hyped by the quarterback and you go, man, this guy's a star. And he's with such a great team now. He's always been good, even at Stanford, but his first pro team, yeah, not so much, but he's found his home in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Santa Clara. Yeah, that's sorry. Unreal.
Right. Hey, you yeah. would think the dumbass who drafted him last year, who picked number three overall this year, might have taken him again, but
yeah, you would have thought
that idiot passed on him for a quarterback. Whoops.
and that idiot's not playing anymore, and the other guy is. So there you go.
That idiot's sitting here wearing his jersey after he just put up 28 and a half points against him in the first round of the playoffs to take a fat L.
Oh, whoops. Man, it's too funny.
Well, at too least funny. You're still supporting him. I like that.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah. I love him.
He's a good kid.
And you can root for him this week. I'm sure, Chris, you're sitting there hoping that Fly or that Armadillos are going all the way this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
I need that trophy. I need something to drink my beer out of.
There you go. All right, that does it for the first round. So to recap, the teams advancing, Dose and a Half Men, Sace Armadillos, Hot Seats, and Wide Wide West. So it's a semifinal of Ross and Ryan and Stev and Steve and Dana and Graham, and then Matt Gifford finds himself in the semifinal. So before we get to the semifinals, it is time to cue up the sad music. And we'll start with the low scorer, and then we'll work our way up from there. And so, man, it's Lamar and Nader. We kind of just talked about them. Original members of the show, Marshall and Dave, they hadn't made the playoffs for like 5 years. They have a really nice season this year, and then they come up short in the playoffs. Dana, it's great to see the Gustafsons have a nice year. What would you say to kind of put this team to bed?
Oh my gosh. No, they shouldn't be ashamed at all. Like Chris was saying earlier, they may have started a little bit slow, but they made some good choices, and you know, they're always in there, and you got to respect them. They played hard and yeah, absolutely. Hold your head high and get ready for next year.
Well said. Chris, how are you going to remember Lamarinator?
Kind of said it earlier, Bud, but I'll definitely remember the early season trolling of the team name. And they kind of evolved. They kind of broke out of their shell and proved to be one of the big guns this year. And I mean, a 9-5 to finish the regular season. Absolutely love to see it for the Gustafsons. Feels like the first time they've been good in a while. So I'll remember that for sure. But real quick, I didn't mention this earlier. Injuries, man. No Keenan Allen, no Nico Collins. I mean,
tough.
I think that tells a lot of the story. I should have mentioned that earlier. But yeah, hopefully this kind of gets things going for the Gustafsons and they can start to become a more perennial playoff team. I think everyone would love to see that. Great allies, great friends, great guys. And we'll see them next year at the draft, Bob.
Yeah, no, I would echo all of that. I'll just add that I'll remember them kicking my ass. I remember thinking that was a write-in win for me in my playoff hopes in week, I think, 13. Thinking, oh my God, these guys have no quarterbacks. They have no Lamar Jackson. He's on a bye. I'll cakewalk by these guys and find my way in the playoffs. And they dunked on me with over 100 points with no quarterbacks. That'll probably never, ever happen again with any team. So, yeah. Good job, guys. All right. Rest in peace, Lamarinator. And next up, man, another guy that just has had a hard time making the playoffs and had a great year this year, got absolutely insanely hot, and like the Gustafsons, just comes up short in the playoffs, and it's Big Tuna, NorCal Tyler, coming up short in the playoffs. You hate to see it. Dana, it's similar. I mean, Tyler's not an original member of the show. Since he joined, he's had just the toughest time making the playoffs. We actually talked on last week's podcast. The previous time he picked his poison was 2019 when he picked you. You beat him and ended up winning the championship. So I don't know. Maybe the move for Tyler is to not finish really high and just not have to worry about picking your opponent. Just get picked, and then maybe he'll have better luck.
You know, I agree. So when Tyler first came on, I always thought, he's not really paying much attention to the show like we all did. And boy, this year was a huge surprise. I mean, he was the Big Tuna, and really getting after it. And I'm surprised at how he ended up. Honestly, I'm glad I didn't have to play him, but I think now maybe he's making that effort and getting in the game, really getting into the show. So, good for him, and I know he'll be back strong next year.
Absolutely. Harvey, how are you going to remember Big Tuna?
I mean, we all know it, Bub. It's NorCal Tyler. It was 1-4, 1-5, something like that. He packed his bags. They, him and Carissa moved to El Dorado Hills, NorCal, and it's been nothing but wins since then. And honestly, Bub, the saddest part of all that is I'll remember the first round playoff dead. We were hyping up Big Tuna a lot on the pod. Did not expect this at all. Really bummed out. And really, yeah, it's just NorCal Tyler is by you.
I remember having a really good team a few years ago. And I want to say it was one of the years when the Rams and Jared Goff had one of the best offenses in the league. And I was relying on double-digit points every single week. And then you get the wrong matchup for that team in the first round of the fantasy playoffs, and you can get absolutely screwed and booted just like that. And I want to say the Rams went to like Chicago, played a bad weather game. Goff ended up with like negative points, and I got bounced. And that's kind of what happened to Tyler. I mean, Dak, they're coming off a huge win, and it was a brutal spot for them to go to Buffalo. And predictably, Dallas lays their biggest egg of the season, and it cost Tyler big time. So sometimes you just get screwed by the NFL schedule, and your guy that you're counting on plays the wrong team at the wrong time, and now it's Matt Gifford advancing instead of Tyler. So, but you love to see Tyler have a great season. I would totally echo what the guys said. Hopefully he's back again next year and back in the playoffs. But for now, rest in peace, Big Tuna. We'll go next to Fly Harvey Fly. Man, you know, Stev asked me last night, he said, hey, I think I'm on a pretty good playoff streak. Can you see how many times me and Dad have made the playoffs in a row? And I said, sure. And he's right. This is the fifth straight season in the playoffs for Stev and Steve. And the only longer active streak is Christopher. This is 7 years in a row in the playoffs for Harvey. And unfortunately, there's no championships in that 7 year run. I mean, Dana, you chose the guy, you beat the guy, you ended his dream. How much do you feel for him that he's just, he wants that championship so bad? And it's been since, is it 2012?
Oh,
2013. It's now been a 10 year title drought for Chris. You got to feel for him.
Well, I feel bad for him. I love him. So I love playing against him, but I hate beating him, if that makes sense. But there's always next year. I'm trying to think what pro team keeps showing up and doesn't win, you know, year after year after year.
It's like the Bills.
Yeah, but you know, next year you'll probably be there because you'll pick McCaffrey first.
Yeah, I learned.
it's one of those. But the cool thing is you're so competitive every single year, and that's what's important. And it's just like Bob said earlier. Sometimes you just get a matchup where it doesn't work. You know, your guys just don't work that week. But it's a testament to you and how well you've done for so many years that you're really involved in this. And that's what I like. That's what's fun about this show.
Well said.
All right, Chris. You know, there's a lot of, this is how many years in a row of the Harvey brand? Looks like we started in 2018. So this is year six of the Harvey brand. Fly Harvey Fly, Jalen, AJ, Eagles, and you don't even win a playoff game. So when you look back at all the great Harvey teams, how are you going to remember this one?
Not too fondly, Bov. Man, where do I even begin? Just a year of bonehead mistakes, honestly. No pun intended with the last name. But starts off with passing on McCaffrey. I drafted guys like James Cook, who's this absolute stud, traded him. Devin Singletary, cut him. Ty Chandler, amazing this week, cut him. I had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, traded for Pacheco. Pacheco's out. Clyde went off last week. Just all kinds of stuff like that, Bov. Something my fans aren't used to, honestly. They usually have a lot of faith in Harvey that he's going to do what's best for the team, and I did not do that this year at all with this squad. Traded for absolute bums like Austin Eckler and Javonte Williams. Just absolute never Harvey again. They're on my blacklist. They will not be Harvey. They don't deserve to be Harvey. Throw them on a gift team, on a Menard team, whatever. Yeah, Bov, I mean, you guys said it earlier, it'd be a lot easier if I didn't care. Old Harvey is running out of team name ideas. He is ready to hang up the cleats and win one and ride into the sunset and be born again as something new. But we'll run it back again next year, Bov, with Harvey. Harvey's coming back. Because, I mean, eventually you got to just luck into one, right? So we will be back, and I hate Austin Eckler, And I hate Javonte Williams. Stephon Diggs, kind of hate you too. But that's all I got, Buff. That's all I got.
All right. Rest in peace, Fly Harvey Fly. And the last one we'll do is we'll do Los Cuervos. You know, Don, we always get to the first pod of the season and we're discussing the team names and analyzing them, and we never have any idea why Don's team name is named what it is. We don't know if there's some hidden meaning or anything like that, but I'm looking at Don's roster, and I think he got about as much out of this group as he possibly could. I mean, 91 points would have beaten a lot of other teams this week. Unfortunately, he was chosen by Dose. I mean, Dana, do you agree? Is this guys like Mixon and Najee Harris and Adam Thielen, and outside of those very productive quarterbacks, there just wasn't enough here for Don this season. A guy that's never won the show.
Right. And you know, those were some good names that had produced before, but you know, they just, this wasn't their year. And I think he kind of missed on some of the younger guys and some of the other guys that were with better teams and stuff. And I was thinking Los Cuervos was thinking tequila or something when he was choosing his team. So I don't know.
I mean, Chris, Dana makes a great point. A lot of this, sometimes it's the young guns that are going to carry you. You look at Dose with CJ Stroud and Gibbs and guys like that. And Don's just, other than Purdy, who's young and coming on, and just got a lot of bleh on this roster. It's about, I think he kind of hit the wall here.
Yeah, it's a typical Don team, Bov. I don't think he has, and I need to do a better job of this too, made the transition to the young guys, to the rookies, to the second year guys with a lot of upside. Because I got some of that trash on my squad too. Just older guys like Eckler. Ugh. But I mean, I'm looking at Don's roster in last week's game. And like you said, like I'm seeing these Dose guys right next to him, and just it's night and day. So honestly, I'm not going to remember Los Cuervos at all, but interesting little analysis with the old guys versus young guys, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So hopefully Don is back next year. I mean, we know he's one of a few teams to never have won the show. Maybe he'll learn something this year. And peace out, Don Gifford. Rest in peace, brother.
All right, rest in peace, Los Cuervos. All right, we do have four teams remaining. Ross could not be here tonight to announce his pick, but as the top seed advancing, he has the honor to choose his opponent. So Ross will choose, and then that'll leave two remaining teams to, by default, play each other. And Christmas week, fantasy semifinals, what more could you ask for? And so without further ado, I got the text from Ross Poindexter right before we hit record. And Dose and a Half Men has chosen to play Wide, Wide West in the semifinals. So that means we've got Ross and Ryan against Matt Gifford. And we've got Dana and Graham versus Stev and Steve, the Lions versus the Bones in the semifinals to go to the championship of the show. Dana, what do you think about this matchup?
Oh, my gosh. I always hate playing against you guys. I would rather just beat Ross right now this week. But by the same token, I'm a little bit afraid of Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West. You know, they could have a big game and go ahead and beat them. So I see where Ross is going. He's thinking he's going to take the easy out. That's the easiest win for him. And I just hope it backfires on him. You know, play a little bit more attention. I kind of have the same feeling as when I play Chris. you know, playing your dad and Steph. It's tough. It's just tough. What I do hope is everybody has a really good game and it's really close and nobody gets any garbage touchdowns. So I'm excited.
Harvey,
I'm gonna have to study a little bit this weekend to figure out who I'm gonna play.
You got some lineup there, especially at wide receiver. So that Packers injury report will be really key for the Armadillos. And I mean, Harvey, what are your thoughts on these semifinal matchups?
I take back everything I said earlier about Wide West and how he has already peaked and he's going to be trash. I now agree with Dana. I think Giff has shown he can put up those huge scores. I think that's in the cards this week. I think Fields and Kyler are actually playing each other. That could maybe turn into some ugly shootout if that's a thing. But man, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to be rooting heavy for the Wide West, Bub. Like I said earlier, I'm tired of Dose. To not even show up on this pod is truly unbelievable. Not even for a couple minutes to announce his pick. The guy is checked out. The guy has acting like he has a ticket to the championship. And there's a scary team in his way. And I'm going to pray that Dose falls this week. And then love both Hot Seats and the Armadillos, obviously. Nice that one of them is going to be in the final and can hopefully beat the winner of the Dose GIF matchup. So that's kind of my thoughts, Bub. Early thoughts.
It's definitely an interesting NFL schedule this week. We have a Thursday game between the Saints and the Rams. We have two Saturday games. We've got 10 Sunday games and then three Christmas Day Monday games, a triple header. The last game is Baltimore at San Francisco. That'll have implications on both games with the Armadillos and Christian McCaffrey. Dana possibly needing to come from behind with CMC. And then for Wide West, that's Debo Samuel's been absolutely on fire. Ooh, so yeah, we'll have Debo in that game. The Chiefs are the early game on Monday. That'll be Patrick Mahomes for Dose. Thursday is the Rams. That'll be Cooper Kupp for Wide West. So lots of implications here as the schedule is pretty spread out here for this upcoming Christmas holiday weekend. So can't wait to see what happens. We'll have two of these guys in the previewing the championship next week, shortly after Christmas. And I guess the last thing to say is Merry Christmas, everybody, and have a great time with lots of football. And Dana, good luck to you. Still alive in the playoffs. I hope you get it done. And that's a wrap.
All right. Well, thanks for your support this year. Merry Christmas, guys.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, Dana. Merry Christmas.